A lot of farmers here recently have been reaching out to our lawmakers, asking them to support a pro-conservation farm bill. This particular farm bill getting a lot of attention. So to tell us why and to tell us more is our very own farm director, Rob Winters. Good morning, Rob.
Hi, how are you?
Thanks for coming in to discuss. I feel like this is such an important topic of conversation. Let's start easy. Maybe it's not so easy. Maybe it's kind of a convoluted answer. But why is it that this farm bill particularly is so darn important?
Well, you really have to start with a kind of a genesis of the thing and maybe a little bit of a definition about the farm bill, because people think about the farm bill and they think about farmers because farm is in the title of it. But in reality, 80% of the farm bill is food nutrition programs. Nutrition programs. Think SNAP. For old folks, that'd be food stamps, but also under the nutrition title, school lunch menus, food for single mothers with babies, a number of programs. There are actually 12 titles. They call them titles, but they're, you know, different things within the scope of the Farm Bill.
Sure.
But 80% of it clearly has to do with food and nutrition programs to underprivileged people. Okay. Starts with that. 20% of it is farm, okay? And we'll get into the rub that has been caused here.
And yeah, save that for last.
why it's such a difficult thing this year. But so the 12 titles of the program, nutrition really kind of takes the top priority there when it comes to, you know, everyday Americans. But if we're talking about the farmers in the farm bill, then there are some really key programs there. Safety net, I'll explain that in a moment. Farm loans. And conservation. You mentioned conservation. Mm-hmm. I'll get into the importance of that here in just a moment. But for farmers, the important part is the safety net. And what that has to do with, it has to do with programs that bail them out when things get tough. Somewhere along the line, everybody figured out, you know what? You know, food is really a national security.
Amen,
item.
Brother.
If the folks don't have food, you got rioting in the streets. And history shows us that that is the case. It's happened before in Asian countries in, you know, in decades past. So they figured that's a pretty important thing. So we're going to try and help farmers stay in business. So when you have things like the range fires in Texas that happened recently and killed, you know, dozens, if not hundreds of cattle. Those safety net programs help that farmer stay in business. You may have heard me just recently talking about the bird flu.
Yeah.
It's wiping out all kinds. And, you know, here last year and the year before, the bird flu was pretty severe as well. And, we saw the price of eggs skyrocket.
Just over Easter.
Yeah. And it was because those farmers got wiped out from the bird flu. So safety net programs help for that and things like drought, farm loan programs for beginning farmers, as an example. The average age of a farmer these days is up in the mid-60s. So that means that they're about ready to say, hey, look, I'm going to take your mom to Florida. If the farm's on fire, give me a call. But they're also about ready to turn the reins over to a junior or sissy that has come home from Purdue University with a degree in farm management, and they're taking over the farm. But they don't have the resources to be able to even make a down payment on a farm when the average price of an acre is $18,000 to $20,000. And a 1,000-acre farm, do the math, and all of a sudden you're up in the several millions of dollars.
What about then specifically the conservation programs? How did those benefit farmers specifically?
that's where the whole
another loaded question.
Well, it's where the farm bill actually really moves over into the political arena. And, you know, we've heard so much about, you know, climate change and global warming and all these buzzwords that have to do with this stuff. And it all kind of tracks back to carbon and what's coming out of the tailpipe and electric vehicles and all the rest of it. And lo and behold, you know, they're going to point the finger at farmers and say, you guys are guilty of a lot of this. And you may remember back in the Obama era where they were actually going to tax cows and hogs and chickens and everything because of what they thought was, you know, methane from the car.
I remember.
From the cows. And actually there was a thing, and forgive me, folks, but it's a thing. Go online and check it out. Obama had suggested taxing cow farts.
Yep, mm-hmm. I remember.
And that just kind of gave everybody an idea of the fact that they really don't know what they're talking about because the methane is actually coming out the other end. Mm-hmm. Cows do a lot of burping.
And I learned that from you. I remember. I can remember that distinctly.
She's listening, folks. Isn't that wonderful? So anyway, how do these programs help? Well, the safety net programs are absolutely the top priority for farmers. But what has happened in the political arena is that the Democrats are going to continue to push their not only nutrition programs, but also conservation because of what we've all seen with regard to the electric vehicles. But again, you know, those aren't necessarily helping farmers because
that's what I really wanted to get down to.
Farmers are a little bit miffed, you know, because it's like you're pointing the finger at me like I'm the cause of all of this, but I don't want these chemicals that I've spent a lot of money on to leave my farm, and you're telling me that all of the stuff that I'm applying on my farm is going into the river.
Right.
Hold it now, folks. I don't want it to go anywhere. I want it to stay here. So I will do everything in my power to make sure it stays here, and I've been doing that for years. Yes, there are a number of conservation programs absolutely worthwhile, and I think
lost in all of this.
Yes. Yes, because again, it's all about carbon, mm-hmm. carbon sequestration. They've come up with formulas. How much carbon are you sequestering in the soil? That has been the thing that's been the genesis for cover cropping. We already knew cover cropping was going to be a thing, you know, to actually keep something growing on the soil during the winter months so that there's a root system there that holds it. Strips along the side of the field that will hold and grow roots, obviously, and hold that soil so a lot of this stuff is not, you know, going off into a drainage ditch anywhere. Conservation programs, yes. But to blame it all on the farmers mm-hmm. when you can go into any neighborhood in this town during this time of the year and all the way through the summer, hey, if more is better than too much is just right to put on my lawn to make sure it's going to stay green and weeds aren't going to grow. And a lot of that stuff is going right into the drain.
It's running off, too. Yep, yeah. Running off, too.
You know, let's deal with what's real here, you know, and not start creating boogeymen.
Well, and here's the other thing, too, that, I mean, you start out saying this, you know, 80% of this legislation is more for nutrition food programs, the other 20% more for farmers. But you said it, there'd be rioting in the streets, right, if we didn't have food. So at the end of the day, Rob, I think this is important. When you hear Farm Bill, sometimes I think people tune out because it's like, well, I'm not a farmer. That doesn't concern me. But yet I feel like this concerns everyone. So what would be your last words to we the people of why they should care about this bill?
Why we should care about this bill is, you know, for all of the programs that are definitely worthwhile. But here's the part. And again, I'm sorry, but farmers tell me, they say, "Yeah, Rob, you know, you always want to focus on the political part of it." But politics, unfortunately, has a lot to do with what's driving it. Now, veterans of the law, veteran lawmakers in Congress, I mean, guys that have been there 30 and 40 years, 3, 4, 5 farm bills, they'll all tell you it's the only way we get this done is with bipartisan compromise.
Amen, brother.
And when Michigan Senator Debbie Stabenow steps out here about 3 weeks ago and says, we will not negotiate. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to ask us to negotiate or if you're going to ask us to try and balance the bill on this thing, ain't going to happen. I will filibuster. Well, that's not really negotiation. And that's all about the nutrition program. Just to give you a fix on what's going on. Last farm bill, price tag on it, $800 billion, somewhere right in there. The potential price tag for this one, if you look at all the nutrition programs that Debbie Stabenow does mm-hmm. not want to negotiate on, drives it up to $1.4
trillion. Holy crap.
Now, you can tell me what kind of a percentage increase that is.
And I don't math well, but I know it's a lot, Rob.
Yep,
I know it's a lot.
Republicans are trying to balance the budget, okay?
When
you can't get both. You can't have that kind of increase and balance the budget.
No, you
won't
can't.
Happen.
When are we expecting a timeline? Hey. What's the timeline here, Rob? That's the million-dollar question, right?
Well, right now it's overdue, okay? It was supposed to be done, and nothing will move on this until Congress figures out an appropriation bill, which is basically, all right,
well,
guys,
you know where we've been
how
on that.
Much are we going to spend? And, you know, until that gets done, this isn't going anywhere.
Yeah. Well, Rob, I think it was just wildly important to bring everyone into the fold of why all of us should care about the Farm Bill, not just, quote, farmers. And I think you made your case today. Thanks for coming in studio.
Thanks.
That is our very own farm director, Rob Winters, joining us here on WoWo.
Podcasts by Federated Media.